The average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in San Luis Obispo County is just over $1,300 a month and climbing, according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and it takes about $52,360 a year in income to afford it. According to the 2013 Vital Signs report by Action for Healthy Communities, 33% of the residents in the county make less than $35,000 annually, and 58% live below $65,000 annually. County officials proclaimed affordable housing in the county a crisis. And beyond having over 1,500 unhoused people in the county, we have a far greater number of people who live under the threat of homelessness. These include a large number of single-person households, often senior women. There are over 37,500 residents in San Luis Obispo County currently over 65, and approximately 10,000 of these residents live alone. Increasing affordable housing in our community demands both creative solutions and multiple approaches. Today, we're going to be talking about one that has been used around the country to help over tens of thousands successfully. It's called shared housing. My guests for today's show are Ann Wyatt, housing policy planner and former San Luis Obispo County Planning Commissioner, and Home Share Slow Program Coordinator. Also with me is Joe Oliver, who's a registered nurse, board president of Home Share Slow, and Judith Otmar, who is a retired English teacher. So I'm going to work on my grammar here with you, Judith, and a 20-year home sharer. And our show is live today, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments and questions, and you can do that by calling in at area code 805-781-3875. And welcome, ladies. I'm curious, interested, and excited about this particular topic today. And I think probably the first question for me is, how did you get involved in home sharing? So any one of you can start.
Well, this is Joe, and I'm glad to be here. Chris, thank you for the invitation. My first involvement with home share, specifically after years of living on and off in various communal kinds of situations and shared housing situations, was in Vermont when I first heard of Home Share Now, which is an organization in Montpelier. At that time, I was living in shared housing with another single woman. We had both gotten divorced and so ended up sharing a room together. And my youngest daughter was on her way to college in Chicago. And having no family in Chicago and the school she was going to had no dorm arrangement, no campus housing, no campus actually, it's a vocational school. I was in a panic. And somehow I started looking at home share organizations in Chicago. And I found out about the Open Communities organization, which is a home share organization in Chicago. And through them, I was able to find her a nice, safe house in Skokie, which was near the school with someone who was close to my age, a woman who had a widowed and rented out rooms. And she ended up going there and lived there for a year. And it was a great arrangement. It was a huge relief to me as a parent to know that she was going to be in a place where, even though it wasn't the woman's job to look after her, I just knew that she would have someone who would be aware of her and her coming and going. And that was really a great opportunity for me. And she had a good time living there. It worked out really well.
Fantastic.
I was a part of shared housing as a student, like many people. But I would say my first kind of transformational experience with shared housing was soon after my father died. My sister, my twin sister Amy, and I were in our early 20s, and we inherited a house of his that sat up on a hill in Los Angeles. And my father had the income to pay for the house, and he appreciated the privacy and the extra rooms that afforded him a library and an office and a home gym. and all of these things. But when my sister and I landed there on our own, we didn't have the same values that he had or the same income as, you know, fairly low-wage workers in the travel industry. We didn't have the income to pay for the maintenance and upkeep of the house. But even more than the sort of economic challenges, we didn't like being in the house all alone. It was a little spooky for us having all of that space. And rather than the positive value of the privacy, it was really a negative value. So we put an ad out and looked for roommates and added a few doors and made the house more compatible for sharing with others. And it was an incredible experience and a much better kind of enhanced living, sharing the space with others.
Wow. Okay. And Judith, you've been a house sharer for a bit now.
Yes, for quite a long time. I would say mostly since my daughter went off to college. Although I had home shared actually when she was growing up a couple of times with friends, we had shared houses. But primarily when she went off to college, I was ready to just bust loose and go and explore and, you know, move out to California and all of these things from Michigan. And I really valued and still do the freedom to be able to move around, not be stuck with a lease, not get stuck with a lot of possessions. I guess being coming of age in the 60s, I had, you know, certain values then that I continue to have about not kind of getting burdened with a lot of stuff and all of that. And so it just really suits me. It's a great, and it also, needless to say, helps financially and also socially to home share.
And when we talk, you know, what about some of the benefits for this community, in my lead-in, I was talking about the affordable housing, and that's been something that's been an ongoing issue. Rentals are so hard to find here in San Luis Obispo, and the majority of the homes that are here are rentals in the county, I mean here in the city. The affordability of even people with what are considered good incomes, that just finding a place to be able to afford not only the cost of the house, but then electricity and all of the things that go along with that. Why is this something that isn't explored more?
I guess my response to that would be that it's a sort of a practical kind of solution that's not sexy. It's kind of one person at a time. And I think we tend to be drawn to the sort of, glamour isn't really the right word, but more glamorous solutions. It's really more exciting to construct a new house. I've gone to many ribbon cuttings when we get to come into the new house constructed, the affordable unit. And I've heard the developers talk about the choice of paint colors. And that's certainly an important facet of solving the problem. But the more practical kind of hands-on approach makes a lot of sense. But it's really person to person. And kind of one senior woman to another. And so it can take a lot of hand-holding with the screening requirements and the matching. So it's not one size fits all.
So let's talk a little bit about a home share program, because we're talking about just people not – you guys kind of did it on your own. Joe, you went through an actual home share program for your daughter, and you kind of landed in understanding what a home share program was by finding one kind of by happenstance, right?
That's right.
And for you, Judith, you've kind of happened into this on your own as well, rather than having the resources behind you of a actual home share program. So talk to me a little bit about what a home share program in San Luis Obispo County brings to the table that is helpful.
Yeah, well, that's an important question and distinction, because certainly a number of people are home sharing now. I didn't recheck the county statistics, but something like 15%, I think, of residents or 20% share unrelated non-family members. So especially in the city with college students, I'm sharing is the norm. And most people are doing it on their own on Craigslist or just meeting up with people that they know or friends of friends. But the importance of the program is provision of several things. And one that's of primary importance is the matching and screening process. What we're trying to do is open up housing that wouldn't be rented out already. And so that's reaching out to people who wouldn't be comfortable just finding their own roommate. And that tends to be senior population who's more security conscious and less able to articulate household rules and expectations and lease agreements. So a program would come in and kind of be the handholder to mm-hmm. help find, make the matches, introductions, and help going through the household expectations and background screening, which would include felony checks and Megan's Law, income verification, reference checks, and possibly some other things mm-hmm. to make sure that person, or really both parties, are who they claim to be.
Right.
So that security is really the primary part. But then what I find is some of us are pretty comfortable and easy with articulating expectations and making agreements, but that's something that's very difficult for others and doesn't come naturally. We just before the program, we were laughing about some less than perfect share situations and the things that we've learned after the fact. But a program can actually kind of eliminate those problems by bringing up potential issues.
Can you give me an example or two?
One example that comes up is as money issues, finances. And for example, some sharers go into it without adequate deposit or reserve set aside. And so if you sign a lease together as sharers, you're both kind of holding the bag. So if one person takes off and doesn't pay the last month's rent or the last month's utilities, the other sharer might be caught holding the bag. Mm-hmm. So a program, for example, would kind of consider that in advance and suggest that the sharers have a deposit amount or some consideration.
In like a little escrow account or mm-hmm. something. That mm-hmm.
Somewhere right. to say, well, this has been known to happen. Right. And what can we do to prevent this from being mm-hmm. a problem? Mm-hmm. The income verification is another one to make sure people have the income they claim to right. so that they're not caught off guard without the finances to pay the rent and suddenly stuck unable to. But there are also a lot of non-financial matters, too, just as far as cleanliness habits.
Right.
Like you've talked about, we all have different standards of hygiene, and it's okay to be how we are, but it's if we can articulate that up front, we might realize that the super tidy person may not want to live with the less tidy
person.
Not
everybody's real comfortable with an Oscar and Felix
right.
right. kind of a relationship. Some people do well in that. You know, I had a situation like that when I was much younger, and that didn't work real well for me.
Right.
But yeah.
Part of the interview process is identifying common likes, dislikes, tastes, you know, and helping people think about, well, how do I use the kitchen? What is my habit?
Right.
You know, and trying to match people who have so they have similar expectations from the beginning, and then providing support with communication on an ongoing basis. So we don't just go away when after mm-hmm. the lease is signed or after the housing agreement is signed. We would be there to provide support, you know, as people try to work things out together.
In the home share programs, are a good number of the individuals senior women that are homes that are identified as possibles for sharing?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Most of the programs that I've surveyed, most of the participants, both the home providers and the home seekers, are senior women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that our program couldn't serve others, but it tends to be the case that others are already putting rooms on Craigslist,
right,
or maybe more savvy about mm-hmm. renting without the program support.
And that particular population is probably less likely to use a Craigslist and feel comfortable with mm-hmm. it. Less possibility of having to have gone out and find roommates before may come from at least currently a generation that didn't have a lot of rooming mm-hmm. experiences.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And may or may not have had a situation where they've done any boarding
right.
to or renting to other people. So it's a really vulnerable mm-hmm. population, I would think.
But it's also mm-hmm. just simple demographics. I mean, that's just a large percentage of the population right now are, you know,
right.
senior women.
And I think mm-hmm. the unspoken thing is women live longer mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. men. You know, so if there is a home that was in the family, the women are going to end up with the home that is a bigger home with the rooms that mm-hmm. are unused rooms.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now we see about 7.5% of the San Luis Obispo County population are single senior women. And the demographic sort of guesses are that the population of seniors is going to double in the next years. So we're going to see a lot more seniors, but especially single senior women who have special needs, both economic and socially. As it gets harder to get out of the house, there are more issues with isolation. And so sharing is kind of an extra security measure there and support for health and sociability.
I'm going to take a real mm-hmm. quick break here because I have lots more questions for you. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Central Coast Voices here on KCBX, your public radio station, voted best radio station in the New Times Readers poll. I am here talking with Ann Wyatt, housing policy planner and former San Luis Obispo County Planning Commissioner and HomeShare Slow Program Coordinator, Joe Oliver, who is an RN and board president for HomeShare Slow, and Judith Otmar, retired English teacher and 20-year home sharer. And we're talking about shared housing, a program for affordable housing and a solution for county seniors and other residents. And we invite you to join our discussion today. If you have questions or comments about today's topic, we would love to hear from you. You can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, that number, 805-781-3875. In some materials that you provided me, you had talked about, Anne, that a good percentage, at least 50%, if not more, of the senior women living in this community and probably in many communities rely on Social Security for their livelihood, for their monthly well-being. And the average income from that is about $1,000 a month. That's not a lot.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not. When I was a kid, I would have thought that was a fortune.
given the statistic about the cost of the average, that's not enough to pay for a one-bedroom.
When you compare that to what I gave when we were coming into this show. So the fact that you've got somebody, even if they own their own home, you know, and it's mortgage-free, living on $1,000 a month and maybe still driving a car and trying to maintain a home and making sure that you've got heat and food, it's a lot. And then having extra rooms. Mm-hmm. Judith, what's that?
Well, I don't have a lot more than $1,000 a month. I do have a bit more, but it is hard to stretch that. And you know, during my home sharing experience, I mean, I have been teaching full time, making a good salary, and I still like to home share because of the freedom that it provided from a lease and not having to own furniture and all of that kind of thing. But it wasn't so much a financial imperative for me to do that. Now it's much more of a financial concern, yeah. In addition to these other things. And it is getting harder and harder to come up with even the amount of rent that I, you know, need to pay to have a room in somebody's house. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand, you know, the importance of this kind of program now. And I just, for one thing, I want to make sure to say before I forget that I think this screening process just sounds like a fantastic thing, because I have always sought home shares just using my gut feelings, you know, when mm-hmm. I email or talk to somebody on the phone or meet them for the first time. And I've been tremendously lucky never to have a bad experience. I mean, it's just been amazing to me that I haven't had any horror stories in the past. But it would just be so fantastic to have the screening process and to be able to really formalize that process, because it's so easy just to meet somebody and think, oh yeah, this will be great, you know.
Yeah.
And not really know what's in store. And, you know, I think a lot of problems can be avoided.
Well, I think the way people live and who they are, mm-hmm. when you first connect with them, we all mm-hmm. put on our best face first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a little bit like the early stages of dating,
right.
And then you find out who that person really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, look at what the first year of marriage is like, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Uh-huh. You're going through, oh, my God, they don't put dishes away. Mm-hmm. They leave everything out here. Mm-hmm. They, you know, I can't mm-hmm. believe this. Well,
that's why we want to ask a lot of questions first and
yeah.
really talk mm-hmm. these things
and do
through.
And how do you do that in a home share program? I mean, do you go in? Do you have certain questions that you do? Do they fill out a questionnaire? What if they lie?
I do liken it to a dating game and kind of a dating mm-hmm. service, because in a lot of ways it's not that different. Finding a roommate. Just minus the sort of sexual component. And so the program would have a lot of stock questions. Mm-hmm. It's important to note that all of the programs, in all of the programs that I've looked at, the seeker and the provider are the ones making the agreement. So whatever the agreement is, or the choice to make an agreement, would be between the two parties. But the agent kind of helps facilitate that. So yes, there is a long list of questions that HomeShare Slow would provide to seekers and providers as a kind of outline for things to consider. And it's really important to point out that there's no right or wrong to it. I think part of the reason a lot of people won't consider sharing is because they think they have to be a certain way, or their house has to be a certain level of tidiness, or mm-hmm. they need to share their whole house. Mm-hmm. But in fact, a lot of people just prefer to have some private space to themselves. And a lot of people aren't that neat themselves.
Right.
So in fact, a provider that has a messy house could be okay for someone whose standards of cleanliness aren't that high either. Mm-hmm. And so rather than thinking there's some right or wrong way to go about it, a program can help the pairs kind of articulate what their comfort levels are. And that's actually very different than what people expect once you go through it. You know, a smoker would probably want a smoker, or might be comfortable with another smoker, mm-hmm. or a pet lover with a pet, or maybe someone who doesn't have a pet really wants one, but isn't in a position to take care of one. Mm-hmm. So that person may be thrilled to have a roommate with a pet. Mm-hmm. That they can enjoy but not be directly responsible for.
When we were coming into the show, I was sharing that I had an experience as an adult, probably 10 years ago, to be in a home sharing situation. As a professional, I was working in a hospital, and I shared a home with a widow because I was out of town, and she was maybe 20 years older than me. And we had we were very different, and yet it worked. She was a smoker. I am not. The agreement was she never smoked in the house, and that worked out great. We moved into a house where she had never smoked before, so it never smelled like smoke. She had a dog at the time. I didn't, but she had a bedroom with a patio, you know, where the dogs came in and out of her area. We had our own individual places, and yet we had common areas. So we could use the kitchen together and cook meals, or we could do that independently. And we each had our own rooms. So they were however they were. And it became something that was funny about how I lived or how she lived. She couldn't believe I ironed things, you know, when she only worked on permanent press, you know, and her iron was the dryer. So it just, you know, we had different lifestyles, but it worked as to, you know, as a woman in her 50s and a woman in her 70s, it was great.
Well, I think,
but I didn't think of it as home sharing. I thought of it as, oh my God, I can't afford this rent out of town and have a house here and in town.
Well, it's so helpful to hear the experience, and I think so important to people because we tend to be afraid of people different than we are, or think somehow because the roommate is house sharer is different, it's not going to work.
Right.
But my experience of running inns and hostels over several decades and living for various amount of times, from a night to months, with people from all over the world, is that it's this incredible liberating experience and enlightening to have different people come through. And, you know, that sort of different experience that comes in is amazing and adds to life. And sometimes there will be challenges. It's certainly not if, but when. But there are ways to deal with them, and with good communication skills and some kind of backup support and advance agreement about what the expectations are, things work amazingly well.
How do people get involved with you now? Now, is ShareSlow already set up and active? Is it in the process of developing? What stage are you in now?
We are active. We've launched, so to speak. We have a board, and we're interviewing potential.
Providers,
thank you. That's the word.
And providers would be what? The individuals that would provide the homes?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're working on that aspect of it now, and we expect to be up and completely running and have the interview process set up by September. That's what we're hoping for.
Okay, yeah. And how many providers do you have identified so far?
Right now I have a list of about 15 providers
that
have shown some interest, but still aren't signed on.
Okay. And so this is really a new concept here. I mean, one of the challenges for home sharing is we went through a number of years of individuals really valuing their home, their family home, and seeing that they were going to keep it to themselves, and that, you know, having other people live in that house. And here I'm kind of thinking of my own mother, that after she was widowed, she could have remained in her own home. She didn't want me moving back in, you know, and nor would that have ever been a good mix, despite the fact that my husband wouldn't have cared for it either. That wouldn't have worked, but I think had she been able to find someone her generation, her age, that could have been a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of coming out of home sharing, right? Of people who are older, who are living together and supporting one another.
My situation right now that I've been in since the beginning of January, I knew Jerry previously. I was friends with her last year. But she said, hey, you know, why don't you come and rent my guest room? So I thought, hey, this is great. I really like Jerry. We'll try it. And so I've been there. I am leaving for Michigan. I tend to go there and visit my daughter's family in the summertime and do other things. But
God, you're just like a professional couch hopper now.
I am.
And
I don't know. I can't seem to stop. I'm just a nomad by trade. But anyway, we've been just and now she's saying, when are you coming back? And I'm saying, I'm going to miss you. So I'll probably be back in the fall, barring unforeseen circumstances.
And had she ever had a roommate as an adult?
I don't believe
not,
so.
No,
I really don't. I mean, she's
her.
Had, you know, family members stay
sure.
with her, but I don't believe she's ever rented to anybody who wasn't.
She is 82?
She is turning 82 at the end of the year,
so
and I'm 69.
So her.
Wondered if you'd divulge.
So, yeah. And, it's really been terrific. And that's one of the tremendous advantages, I think, that people don't realize. You are, you know, there's no doubt about it, you're giving up a little bit of control over your environment. Both people are giving up control. But what you're getting can be so much more than, you know, worrying about, am I going to have to see this person? You know, and you start thinking, hey, it's kind of nice to see somebody at the end of the day, come home and, hi, how are you, you know? And, I just think it's a tremendous thing. I wouldn't want to live any other way.
Yeah, I know. My roommate was in her 70s, and she was vibrant and you know, we just, she was widowed and very sad for 5 years, and having someone in the house other than her dogs brought this energy to her that it just was delightful. I got her on a high ropes course, and she kicked my butt on it, you know, and she loved it. She, you know, it was great. So, and she wouldn't have ever considered not having family live with her before that. So, let's take a call here from Scott. Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for hosting Home Share Slow today. I do have to admit that I'm one of the people who joined the board. I'm the financial officer, and it is exciting. And what got me so passionate about it, I have friends who live in the Los Osos area, and they're in old family homes that have been held by these people for decades, and the sewer assessment is about to push them out because
of
the cost.
Oh, my gosh.
And the home share, I went, wow, a way to keep a senior in a home.
Absolutely.
I have to admit, I'm a senior citizen, too, and the thought of having to leave my home because of something like an assessment on it, this was the magic fit. So when I found out about the organization, I went, hey, I have to be part of the solution. I got to get out there and help these people.
That's, you know, what you bring up, a really practical thing that's just like looming on the forefront, which is that assessment that's coming up. And you're absolutely right. People that and a lot of those individuals probably own those homes outright or have really low payments on their homes, so may have been able to afford it without this occurring. But for them to lose their homes over this without looking at the alternatives, I would hope that we'd be able to get them to look at some other options.
Exactly. And Judith and yourself both described experiences with home sharing where it becomes much more than, oh, it's a renter. It becomes a relationship, a friendship, and can become a very wonderful solution that looks just like a financial problem, but even bigger as a
You know, and for people that really like their privacy, because I'm a social person and I'm also a private person. So I like my personal space, and you probably do.
I do
too.
I'm very, very independent.
Yeah,
so that's important to me.
So you can continue to do that in a shared housing situation. I think that's really important, especially for people who have gone through their whole life with their space. But I appreciate you calling in, Scott.
The classic one we're starting to see is that sort of senior surviving spouse, so that's one person left behind, kind of lonely, about to lose their home because of finances. So I really like it. I'll turn it back to you, but thank you again, Chris, for hosting this.
Well, thank you for turning this show back over to me, Scott.
Well, I did want to follow up on that point because, again, I think it's one of the most important sort of transformational kind of thoughts on this. It's not the old dorm roommate situation.
Yeah.
I don't think most of us adults want that anymore. And it's a kind of a continuum of seeking privacy and social sort mm-hmm. of situations. And I'm like you and Judith, I'm like my privacy now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interact with someone most of the time.
Right.
But I'm kind of calling this after a conversation yesterday, a sort of 95-5 kind of continuum, where we mostly, I think most of us want private space, but we want that access to social opportunities some of the time. So if we can set up our home shares to have private space and shared space, that sort of access to social option is there within the house. I can go days without leaving my house because I'm such a homebody. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if there was no one in the house, I could go long periods of time without actually seeing anyone. So I sort of like that someone's around nearby,
right.
But I don't want them necessarily sharing my kitchen or my bathroom
yeah.
or my living room.
Yeah.
And there are ways to set up a lot of houses to provide private spaces.
Right.
And the kitchen is a big one because it's one of the most common comments I hear from people who won't consider home sharing.
Right.
I hear, I could never share my kitchen.
Uh-huh.
As if somehow that precludes them from sharing other parts of the house. And a statistic seemed to suggest that as many as 1 in 7 Americans don't cook at all. And I know at least one person here at the table with me
is probably evidenced by all the drive-throughs.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah.
And people who don't put a lot of value in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So this assumption that in order to share our homes, we have to share our kitchen with people who don't cook at all are mistaken. And so there are lots of ways to do it around that. A number of people can be very well served with a mini fridge and a microwave and a mm-hmm. tea kettle or coffee pot.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those can be purchased for under $200 and placed almost anywhere.
Right.
So this notion that the whole kitchen has to be shared, even the living area, isn't necessarily the best kind of match.
Yeah, excellent point. You are listening to KCBX Radio at 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara, around the world at kcbx.org. A reminder that KCBX annual Live Oak Festival is coming up, and we still need volunteers to make it as great an event as it always has been. We have some positions available, from dishwashers to shuttle drivers and everything in between. So Live Oak volunteers, they do get to trade work for full festival tickets. That's a big bonus. You can sign up by going to liveoakfest.org and clicking on volunteers under the Contact Us tab. This is Central Coast Voices, and we're talking about home share as a housing solution and a way to improve quality of life for seniors in our county and also other residents. My guests are Ann Wyatt, Joe Oliver, and Judith Otmar. And we're welcoming your questions and comments today. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. And we're going to talk to Rochelle. Rochelle, are you there? Rochelle?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Rochelle, and I'm a senior who has a large home. But here's my question. Doesn't having a home share make you essentially the owner a renter, and then you have to comply with all of the San Luis Obispo restrictions and inspections?
Good question.
It is a good question, Rochelle, and I should know the answer in more certain terms. But I believe that the slow city rental inspections do not apply to shared housing. I believe they only apply to separately rented units. So the answer to that would fairly certain be no. But home share would still need to pay taxes and report the income. Technically, so
yeah.
There would be a bit of rigmarole.
Mm-hmm. Because I have a guest house, it would be ideal. You know, it's very seldom used, and I have extra space in my home. But the thing that prohibited me from taking, you know, from having somebody live here on the property, although I'd love the company, it's just that fear that it would be then, you know, an $185 fee once a year and, you know, inspections. So clarity on that would be really appreciated.
Yeah, well, your guest house is a separate unit then.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there, I believe there is a bit of ambiguity as far as shared spaces. So I hope we could talk offline and look into that ordinance. Even if the ordinance applied, I'm going to say here I'm not a fan of the ordinance. But even if it applied, if you think about it in terms of the cost, $185, and there's a potential, depending on your unit, that you could make between $600 and $1,000 a month, the $185 isn't really all that steep. So I hope you can contact us at homeshareslow.org. And we could talk some more and learn some more about that to try to help you get that unit
used. That would be great.
In the economic context, right, just keep in mind that $200 would be paid back many times over by the first month's rent.
I think it's just the thought that you're suddenly becoming a renter and paying, you know, paying taxes on it and all that. It's just a little more complicating than opening up your home. But maybe there's no restriction on sharing your home. You know, maybe it's only, as you mentioned, a separate, you know, dwelling.
Correct. And there's still a little gray area, I believe, besides. So if you send us a note, we can look into that and look forward to talking some more.
I will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have a call from Sylvia. Sylvia, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you so much for speaking on this topic. I think it's just really very, very pertinent now. And I'm interested because I think when I first heard about this, it sounded more as though it was a possible solution for homelessness. And I thought that I just didn't know about bringing homeless people into my own home who maybe hadn't been in a home for many, many years.
Right.
That would really be difficult. But it sounds as though you're talking in a much broader scope.
Absolutely. And a much more specific, you know, that there are so many people, as we mentioned, that are living one rental payment away from homelessness.
Yes.
That we have to address, or people that are, you know, unlike Judith, who loves to couch surf as she travels her way across the country, who just literally do not have any place to permanently plant themselves because they haven't found a solution like this that works for them.
Yes.
That's right. Much as I'd like this program to address the issue of the homeless, you know, estimated to be almost 1,600 county residents, our initial effort won't, because of income requirements, basically. We'll be looking at just what the exact numbers are. But most of the home share programs around the country have minimum income requirements that generally more or less mirror standard property manager requirements, approximately three times the rent. And so that would preclude people too close to the edge or with no predictable income source from qualifying for the program.
I see. Oh, I appreciate that clarification. And then did I understand you to say that you're in the process of creating, a whole list of questions for both a potential renter and both renter and rentee to get an idea of how you might match up with someone else?
Where are you? Talk about where you are in the process right now.
Sure.
You've got your questionnaires already done, right?
We do. We have lists of questions, so important questions for the process.
And you have the process already outlined about, you know, where you do your credit checks and how that's how that's done?
No, we don't.
Okay.
That's what we're in process doing right now. So we expect to spend the next 3 months getting the procedures for credit checks and felony checks in order. There are some gray area questions. Some of the home share programs do allow applicants who have substance abuse issues to apply, and they're screened on a case-by-case basis. Other programs rule out applicants with substance abuse issues, for example, given potential challenges in sharing and security kind of threats there. The income requirements aren't exact, so that's something we'll have to think about. Just talking before the program, we realized that if we had a 3x income requirement, Judith may not qualify for our program as a seeker, because some of our higher rents then would rule her in out, as her income may not be 3x.
Right.
So those are issues we'll need to have our advisory board think about. Will we be open only to applicants from within the county, or will we take applicants who don't live in the county yet, is one of those questions.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And if I then go to your website, I can keep abreast of where you are in the process.
Yes. And if you may have a house or an extra room available, we are interviewing providers now. So we would love to talk to you right away, today or tomorrow or the next day, if you may be a provider. Because what we'll see here is most of our energy will have to be put into finding providers who are there and have the room but haven't considered renting it out before. And that will be where most of our energy over the next month goes. If we put out the call for seekers, people who are looking for a room today, we'd have a list of hundreds by tomorrow. So we don't need to go out looking for the seekers. What we need to have is kind of the pool of providers.
Is there a phone number that people who are providers, potential providers, could call?
Yes, yes. If you are a potential provider and you'd like to talk about options, we can be reached at 805 area code 296-0013. And the website is homeshareslow.org. So there's a click contact for email contact there.
All right.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you.
You are listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX-FM. If you recently joined us and want to hear today's show in its entirety, we'll be available on the website at kcbx.org/programs/Central Coast Voices. Ann Wyatt, Joe Oliver, and Judith Ottmeyer are here with me. And we're talking about home share, and specifically home share slow, a new program that is in the process of getting started up for providing some housing options specifically for individuals who have extra space or extra rooms in their own homes and want to remain in their own homes and want to share that with individuals that are looking for housing. We have about 15 minutes left, a little bit less than that in today's show. If you have questions or a comment about today's topic, you can still reach us at 805-781-3875. And we're going to take a call from Carol. Carol, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. You had a question or comment?
Hi.
Hi.
I am a lifetime San Luis Obispo resident, long rental history, but always been very low income. I'm 65 years old and on Social Security. Listening to your show now, I don't know if I'd you're looking for people with you're looking for providers. Most of your providers are going to be asking for a lot of money. I make Social Security only $909.40 a month. I was displaced from my rent subsidized. I did have a Section 8. Unfortunately, I got on to Social Security disability a few years ago. I had a low-income rental in North San Luis Obispo. It was kind of a rundown, but I had the Section 8 rental subsidy for 16 years at the same residence through several landlords, and then the property, finally, the BCC Corporation bought it and said that eventually they were going to tear that little front unit down. It was like a little tiny structure, independent from the apartments in the back, and now they've actually fixed it. Remember, that's another subject. I guess they patched it up and are renting it out. We'll see what happens with the rental inspections, right? But anyway, I moved in with my mother. And am I correct that the name is Ann Blythe, or did you say Ann Wyatt? Oh,
Wyatt.
Oh, Wyatt. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, my goodness, Ann Blythe. Okay, that was the owner. I moved in with my mother last July. And then she went downhill and went in the hospital and went into board and care, and the owner there wouldn't let me stay. My mother had a real deal there, $1,200. It was a two-bedroom. And so I thought, well, I'll land here and put everything in storage and see what happens. And then she wouldn't let me stay there. Ironically, now my family is paying out of my mother's account $1,300, very rock bottom, for a tiny little motel room here in San Luis Obispo, and it would have been less for me to stay there. But anyway,
Carol, did you have a question?
I'm wondering if this maybe isn't going to be a solution, because there are a lot of people who don't make much Social Security. I just met a woman who made less than me, and San Luis Obispo does not seem to be caring about low-income seniors, mm-hmm. because unless the government raises Social Security, there are many people that are trying to exist, and there's nowhere to go.
Right. Even if you think about the fact that there are some people that may have more than one room, or maybe they want one room in their house, but maybe they have more than one room, it's possible that there are individuals that would have rooms that would be cheaper to rent, but it's a possible solution. But it's tough just living on Social Security and trying to find housing in this community. You're right.
There are a lot of people in Carol's situation, and yeah. we'll be seeing more and more of them, and the challenges will only be increasing. And so there's a hope that we can serve some of these people, but HomeShare won't be an option for everyone. And people too close on the edge could put burdens on their sharers.
Right.
So there do need to be some sort of screening criteria in place. We're not sure where those will land yet, or how many allowances we'll make
right.
for the borderline incomes.
Right.
But at some point, if that's too close on the edge, that can put a burden on the person.
Well, and I would think too that, and thank you for calling, Carol. I would think too that what can happen is with this program, you want to, especially during startup, you want to make sure that for the providers that there is a built-in safety mechanism for them.
That's absolutely
yeah.
right. As a new program, we need to focus on the kind of clearer, safer matches.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is we can get more innovative as we go on
mm-hmm.
and create more programs to try to help people mm-hmm. who are actually homeless with some housing matching and mm-hmm. mentoring.
Or there may be grant funding that you can look for down the road and just do some
yeah.
kind of subsidy or something
right.
like that. But
right.
I think that, you know, initially mm-hmm. you need to be able to do something to get something started in a way that the providers aren't going to be off-put
yeah.
by feeling like there's too much risk there.
That's exactly the case,
yeah.
yes.
Judith, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I've already talked to Ann. I'm a person who's worked in senior service planning for over 25 years, and I remember when this kind of program began. I had two points I wanted to make and ask about. The first is that there is a generation of seniors who were younger, like myself, and are very comfortable with Facebook and Craigslist, et cetera. The problem for us is the only rentals that you can share here are usually college kids or young professionals.
Right.
So after years of looking for a house share, I gave up and moved into an all-senior complex.
Yeah.
But I personally would prefer to live in the house.
Yeah.
That said, I want to make a really critical point. There is a lot of discrimination in this county against people who are Section 8. I spent 4 months, got extensions, no one would take me. Please, please, please urge your homeowners to open their minds to the fact that a senior can have Section 8, they get guaranteed rent that way. And the people who run Section 8 here in our county seem to me, at least my person, is very flexible. He said, I would not rule out a home share. It would be unusual, but I'm open to it. So I just want to leave that
good
there
to know.
When the problem of affordability comes up.
Good to know.
Thanks, yeah. Judith.
Yeah. So good luck, and find me a nice home share.
We'll do our best.
We'll do. Thanks.
We're looking for you.
Okay. Bye-bye then.
Bye. Yeah. And we have Bill. Bill, are you there? Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, one of the things I've noticed so far in your program is that mostly you've been talking about women and low-income women.
Well, Bill, I can't imagine why you would have noticed that.
Well, anyway, what I'm getting at is, are there any special problems with men renting to other men?
Absolutely not.
And I think you could do another whole program on a mentoring program where older men who live in houses with deferred maintenance could share a rental thing on the basis of maintenance.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the same gender, correct, in home share?
No, no.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have
That's a really good point, and I appreciate you pointing that out.
Thank you, Bill. It is, and I worried a little about this getting too gender-specific, and certainly the program would be open to both genders. It is just the case that there are more single women struggling with economics and home maintenance than men. So we wouldn't want to rule out the possibility of men sharing. There just happen to be a smaller number of them, and they tend to have higher incomes, so their economic challenges are less. And it's a bit of a generalization, but men tend to have a harder time negotiating shared space. So you're absolutely right. One of the program innovations we'd like to incorporate is a home share training program, and we're hoping to focus that specifically at county veterans through the SSVF program. And so it would incorporate education, training to help men share space more effectively. So thanks for asking.
Okay, yeah, I think there's some potential trades going on here that might work for
absolutely love
old,
that
old
idea
guys and young guys.
Yep, absolutely.
We're all
perfect.
For it.
Thank you for reminding us, Bill.
Okay,
bye
bye, Bill.
I have about 1 minute, so I'm going to close out. But I want to thank my guests for today's show: Ann Wyatt, Joe Oliver, Judith Ottmar. We have a lot more we could talk about with this topic, but we did get it started. And everyone who called in with great comments and questions. If you want to contact HomeShare SLO for more information, the phone number
805-296-0013.
They are looking for providers right now and interviewing for that. If you just want to talk to find out if it even would work for you to share your home, please do look into that. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with San Luis Obispo Community Foundation and KCBX, and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. Next week, join Fred Monroe, who will be your host on this show. Your suggestion for future topics is always welcome. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.